I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Number with me, Kevin the Moscow-Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow-Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 215, part of the Sports Social Network. This is another one of our fan cast series, and I believe this is number 6. We started them at pre-season just to get a chance to speak to the fans and get to know them a little bit more. So today we have Tom Pickett from In The Channel blog, and he's on our Discord. And we are going to chat to him about his blog and about his thoughts and what we've seen so far. We also have the incomparable Moscow-Mush, Kevin Milverton. And we have Tim Bazanch joining us later to preview our trip to Huddersfield after that international break. So let's get Kevin in first then. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. Incomparable. I love it. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I can't compare you to anyone.
Irreplaceable host, Ray. I'm awesome.
Wow. Yeah. How are you anyway?
I'm all right. I've come down with something and had a really bad sore throat. So I had to cancel a few things on Monday and Tuesday. I almost lost my voice. So hopefully it's back. But I'll be quite, what's the word?
Awesome.
No, I'll try and keep my words to a minimum.
That would do us all a favour. So,
yeah. It would, wouldn't it? Would. Do we have a punny title for this one? Because that's what we did with the previous ones, didn't we?
I was thinking about that, actually, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I'm guessing.
We got Scum Like It Hot.
Yeah, it's going to have to be sun-related, isn't it? I don't know.
The scum is down.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll think about it. But yeah, I just want to pass on as well, Kev, that we went to the quiz yesterday.
Yes.
We did all right, actually. There was 27 teams and we managed to finish 8th.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So it was really good because they were like reading out like 27th to 20th and, you know, 20 to 15 and so on. We're in the top 10. But I'm happy that we finished 8th. We did well. We didn't disgrace ourselves. Anyway, enough of that. Let's bring in our guest. We've got Tom Pickett from In The Channel. So, Tom, welcome to In That Number. And how are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you very much for having me, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt your quiz talk.
I can't complain. 8th was pretty good. We had a good night. A lot of drink was had. Good meal. Yeah, good questions. As I said, Adam Blackmore was fantastic. I had a good old chat with him beforehand. I tried to get the answers.
Get him on the pod.
Yeah, and I saw, you know, Beattie was there, Ross Stewart was there, Jack Stevens, of course, Kayla Rendell and Laura Rafferty were there. So, no, it was a good night.
Was Ross Stewart, did he have his handbags and glad rags?
No, Ross Stewart. No, he did not. Anyway, enough about this quiz, this damn quiz. And Tom, you're on. I want to talk about you. But before we talk about your channel, I want to know about you, because you know, your channel is called In the Channel because you live in the Channel Islands.
Yes, I do. I live in the little island of Jersey, and so I thought I could create some form of pun between the Channel Islands and the Channel if you were to look at a football pitch. And I think it landed, but
yeah, often makes sense people, now.
Yeah.
People often don't, because I don't broadcast the Jersey element, often people just think, oh, just on about channels on a football pitch. But there's more meaning than people
give it.
Are you on Telegram?
No, I'm not on Telegram.
Because then you could have a channel in the channel.
Ah.
Or channelception, indeed.
Mm. So, yeah, so you're from Jersey. I've never been. Well, you're not from Jersey, so you're from a little place called Eastleigh. I think you've heard of it. And now, so you moved to Jersey about a year and a half ago, is that right?
Yes, about a year and a half ago.
What was the thinking there? How come you moved to Jersey?
So a standard tale of boy meets girl, and then girl falls pregnant with first child, and so we moved back to where she's from.
Ah, that's great. That's a nice story, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't extradited from the UK, and I'm here by choice, so...
I've never been to the Channel Islands, and I've always wanted to go. Maybe I'll go one day.
Too.
You've never been, Kev?
I've never been in the summer, if you can.
I'm not a summer person.
Get a direct flight from Southampton.
For the price.
The price.
Yeah, but...
But if you have a season ticket, you actually get discounted flights to Jersey and Guernsey.
Oh, I do have a season ticket.
Oh, so you get a discount, I believe.
All right, I'm going.
Yeah, Eastern Airways or whatever it is.
I'll go now. Yes. So your blog in the channel. Tell us about this a little bit. And like, when did it start? Why did it start? And how's it all going?
So it came about kind of on a random lazy Sunday afternoon. I have a young son, as I mentioned. He was having a nap, and my partner's having a nap. And I was watching whatever awful game was on Super Sunday that wasn't us. And I just thought, I just fancy writing a match report on the most recent Saints game. So I was just there jotting away on my notes, and I'd send it to a few friends of mine, and they quite liked it because I wasn't writing from your standard sort of BBC Sport, here's what happened, blah, blah, blah. It was more, I'd like to think, whimsical than that. And then it kind of developed from there in terms of I stopped sending it to my friends after a while and thought I'll just chuck it out online and see what sort of feedback I get. And got a fairish number of listeners just for a hobby. So I thought, well, not listeners, probably just readers for a hobby. So I just thought I'd carry on and just kind of has continued from there. So
that's
that was
great.
Started at the back end of the Premier League season in which we went down. So I don't blame myself entirely. We were awful the whole season, not when I started writing.
No, that's good. I was hoping you weren't going to say, oh, you know, I got fed up listening to all these crappy Saints podcasts and thought I could do a better job. So I thought I'd write my ideas down.
No, nothing to do with that. I actually only discovered your podcast after I'd started writing it, because once I started writing, I was getting more into like sort of what do other fans sort of, you know, think regarding the current status quo. Because being on Jersey, there are a few Saints fans dotted around, but then the listeners might correct me, but I'm not aware of a specific Jersey Saints supporters club. So I was listening to more platforms just to hear what everyone else had to say, and kind of we all concurred it was shite. So
wow, you're not on Twitter, are you?
I've only recently joined Twitter because for some bizarre reason I just didn't, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. But I have now, as of about a week and a half ago, signed up to Twitter. So this is in that number exclusive that there is now a Twitter channel.
Yeah, get your stuff out there more. That'd be good. Put it out, and we can spread the word as well. Put it out.
The old retweets.
Yeah, exactly. And every single time you do one, put it on the Discord. And
that's what I tried to do.
Yeah, and I have a good read. I enjoy it. So we'll move on. But first, we'll do some ITN news.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, yeah, we'll start with the good old international roundup, just of the call-ups, and then yeah, when we're back next week, I'll give you a bit of a report on who did what where and who played where with against whom and scored what. We'll start with England.
England this time.
Yeah, no senior players, but... THB has been called up for the under-21s.
Yeah, he missed out for injury last time, didn't he? So he's
he's still captain. As far as I'm aware. Yeah. Ballard caught up for the England under-19s. He's doing good things for Reading, so it'd be great to see him do well in an England shirt. And under-17s, off the back of that friendly against French Polynesia or New Caledonia. That's
New Caledonia, yeah.
Yeah. Sal Amuor, Tyler Dibbling, and Jaden Magoma are all called up for the international break this time round. Sam Adozie is in the under whatever the fuck they called under 20s, is it?
Under 23s, which has been renamed to the England Elite League squad.
Yeah, I forget which one it was. Yeah, the England Elite League. What a little rubbish. Sam Adozie. That's six players. Maybe one of these days we'll have them called up for the main senior team. Che and Stu both called up for Scotland, but Adams has since been withdrawn, and Lawrence Shankland is replacing him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that through injury or just him being shit?
I don't know, to be honest. There's not a lot of said about that or Sulemana, really. It's just been quite quiet at the moment. I'm sure we'll explain it when it comes around to the Huddersfield one.
Yeah, another triumvirate has been called up, this time for Ireland. Bazunu, Smallbone and Ryan Manning all getting the call up there. And Shea for Northern Ireland. Can we just call him Shea from now on? Because obviously Adams is going to be going quite soon, so we'll only have one Shea on the books.
Yeah.
Shea Charles. Joe Rebo gets called up for Nigeria. Jan Bednarek back in the Poland squad after that, missing out the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina caught up. This time is just the under-23s. Maybe the idea with the senior squad is they just wanted to get, like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes in him at some point so he can commit to Argentina so he doesn't switch to another team later on. That's my theory, anyway.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
I doubt that he's going to be playing for any other teams anytime soon. But yeah, he did quite well in the under-23s last time, so let's hope that he can do a good job this time around. And finally, like you mentioned, Kamaldeen Sulemana caught up with Ghana, but again, since withdrawn for no given reason.
No, unknown reasons.
Unknown reasons, yeah. Mm. Procedural reasons. Mm. There you go. Yeah, do you see the pictures on Twitter of Yoshi?
I did. Yeah, training with the first team is great.
In the MLS offseason, yeah, it's wonderful. I reckon we can get him back.
No, no, it's not going to happen. But no, it's really nice to see him in Saints training gear. He's had some good responses on social media as well. So yeah, everyone's happy to see it.
Maybe Aurel Romeo can come back and they can do a little training session for old time's sake.
Yeah, get Schneidlin as well. He's still knocking around.
Yeah, but I don't think his connections to Southampton are as strong. There's another one that was doing rounds as well, wasn't there? Fonte, but he left sort of acrimoniously, didn't he? So I don't see that happening at all.
No. Yeah, under-21s. They played yesterday. They reached the quarterfinals of the Servio Men's Senior Cup with a 2-1 win over AFC Stoneham. Nick Weakunley with both our goals. So that's good news. We like it. We like a cup run. And the women, when we were recording last Sunday, they were playing Charlton. It was 0-0 whilst they were recording, but they eventually lost 2-0 at St Mary's. Not ideal at all. They've slipped to fourth in the championship now. Yeah, not going well now, doesn't seem. And this Arsenal game that they've got in the Conti Cup, they set themselves a goal to smash those ticket sales. And their current record stood at 8,102. So they've beaten it. But it's not been smashed. At the time of recording, it stands at 8,800. But there's still time to grab those tickets and really bump up the sale. And adult tickets are only a fiver. Under 18s, only a quid. So there's no excuses not to go out there and support them against Arsenal. So, yeah, get out there and do it. I think Marianne Spacey-Cow said she wanted to reach 15,000. So I think it's doable. I think hopefully we can sell that out.
That would be great.
Tom, I want to talk to you about this season in general, really. It's been quite up and down. And we started well. We had that disastrous run of losing four on the trot. Some of them big defeats, you know, Sunderland and Leicester. A tight loss at home to Ipswich. And then Middlesbrough, which turned out to be a resurgence for them, really. But since then, they've been almost flawless. It's a run of eight undefeated, starting with that 3-1 win against Leeds. followed by Stoke, Rotherham, Hull, Preston, Birmingham, Millwall, and most recently the win against West Brom. We've had some lucky escapes. We've had some last-minute goals. We've had some big wins like Leeds and Birmingham. But we put ourselves back in contention for promotion. So, you know, you take all those losses, the lucky escapes, the wins. I mean, how do you sum up this season so far?
I think when you look at this season so far, we've played 16 games and only four of them have been atrocious. So, you know, 75% of the season hasn't been atrocious and has been good. We're sitting fourth in the league. You know, Leicester and Ipswich have set such a pace that realistically we're doing really well. Just the two/three above us have set a ridiculous standard. So I'm really happy with how the season's gone so far, obviously barring those four games in particular.
I think that if those games had been spread out a lot more, those losses rather, then it wouldn't be such an issue. And if we'd have lost one at the start of the season, maybe one last week or whatever, just spread out, it would have been fine. But I think the fact that we lost those four in a row, panic started to set in. And teams that we didn't expect to lose to at the start of the season, like Ipswich, okay, they're doing fine now. Middlesbrough as well, they were bottom of the league, don't forget, when we went up there. And we got beat by them. But yeah, I just think it is good. 75% of the season has been good. It's just where it happened in such a concentrated dose, it's a sour taste for people. And we slipped right down the table, didn't we? And there was, yeah, a lot of people were panicking and questioning Russell Martin.
Yeah, I think you're right. The concentration of those four defeats is kind of what I think made some people start to sort of set into panic mode. And if you look later on our fixtures, that run repeats itself. I think it's end of February, start of March. We played those four teams in almost a similar sort of order. I think the Ipswich and the Borough games swap around in terms of the sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only difference. But those four games all occur at the same time. So, you know, psychologically as fans, we're probably going to worry ourselves sort of towards the end of February because those four games all went so wrong in September.
Chance to put them right though, Kev.
Yeah, it's a long old fucking season, isn't it? 16 games is almost half the season for the Premier League. It's about a third for the Championship. So, yeah, still a lot to do. A lot that still could go wrong, I suppose we could say. But, yeah, we've still not played all of the teams that are out there to be played. And I don't know, the players do seem to be settling down quite well now. We've got a fixed kind of starting 11 that he likes to play with and tinkering just for suspensions or injuries. Still got a huge fucking squad, but I imagine, you know, when we get a spate of injuries, then they'll come in handy.
Especially over that festive period as well.
Yeah, definitely. They come fast, they'll be coming, and we'll be travelling all over the country. And yeah, we'll probably see all of them play at some point. But yeah, I mean, Russell Martin, I was questioning him during that four-game run. I was doubting whether he was really the right man to not just, I mean, maybe he could get us into the Premier League, but could he keep us there? I'm a little bit more confident now, but yeah, what do you think, Tom? Are you happy with Russell Martin?
Yeah, I'm really happy with Russell Martin. I think when we first got relegated, in my head, I was kind of chucking names around that I thought, who could we go for? You know, you want someone that will get you straight back up, and you go for the names that you remember. So I was thinking of Scott Parker, Chris Wilder's got a former Southampton connection, even Slaven Bilic has got teams up. But realistically, whilst they might get you straight back up, there's no project there. Like, Leeds have gone for Daniel Farke, which, you know, is probably a good appointment. But long-term, Daniel Farke's not going to be their guy. Whereas with Russell Martin, we might not go up this season, but I'll still be happy for him to be around because you can see the identity of Southampton Football Club. And that's kind of more important almost than quick wins.
Yeah, well, plus the players seem to love him as well.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but he has faced criticism. And we have got an identity, like you say, but it's a very, very subjective, I guess. He's going to face a lot of criticism. He has done, especially during those four losses. But his style of play, the problem that I had last season was the way that we were playing in the final third. You know, we'd have a lot of the ball, not quite as much as we have now, but we just couldn't get the ball into the, you know, in the final third, and it would just go backwards, sideways. We've seen that a lot with Russell Martin. It has been slow, wacky team selections at times as well. Yeah.
All Saints managers come up with wacky team selections, so it's par for the course, surely.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I guess we just wanted something completely different than last season. And, you know, yeah, Ralph's team selections. Yeah, we have got it. But it can be... I mean, it seems to have settled down a little bit now because they seem a little bit more comfortable, Tom, playing, you know, playing out from the back. The slower approach to moving up the field. It's still, there are some matches that you still think, I wish he would just put his foot down a little bit more and actually go for it. And there's always that that second half slump that seems to just follow us around everywhere. I mean, how does he overcome stuff like that?
I think the second half slump's a weird one because I don't really think, like, there's certain things that managers can't legislate for. And I think that is a mentality thing. And like, he's tried in a way, there's certain things he does in game. So we always see Fraser come on for Solomana, and Fraser as a substitute is that proper dogged, work hard, I'm going to get this team over the line kind of guy. So he's kind of made that substitution almost like a staple of our play. And when you see him come on, you know that defensively he can be a bit more, you know, stronger than Solomana, because Solomana, electric going forward, defensively can leave Bree / Manning, whoever it may be, slightly exposed. So when you see that substitution, you can see that he identifies that there's that period that if you're a better man, you'd always go 45 to 60. There's going to be a goal in this game. So it looks like he does try to counter that.
Yeah, and another criticism of his is that, I've said, I think you have at some point as well, Kev, is the fact that he didn't know his best 11. He would constantly move it around, apart from the back four. Constantly, Chandler, we saw a lot of Adozie. We saw Sam Amayor at the start of the season. Obviously, we had Teller and Ward-Prowse at the start of the season as well, which can't be helped.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But now it seems like he knows his best 11. And it seems recently in these eight games that we've settled to this settled 11 with Shay Adams keeping the bench warm at the moment. And it seems to be working. So that's only got to help the players, right?
Yeah, no, that's one that we didn't really see coming. We thought that seeing as Shay was to stay, you'd think that he'd be one of the first names on the team sheet, but he's obviously chosen Adam Armstrong, and more recently we've seen Alcaraz playing a more forward role. He's been shifted to the sidelines. Another player that we didn't expect to be in the squad at this point as a regular that Russell Martin will be starting is James Bree. He's managed to shove aside Ryan Manning, a player who was brought in specifically to play Russell Brand's Martin of football.
Russell Martin's brand.
Yeah, break ball, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm not going to delete that.
Oh, Christ. Okay, fine. I'll go with it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Russell Brand's
comedy gold, brilliant.
It's very eloquent football. It's a bit eccentric.
I can't remember.
Footy work.
So, Tom, I want to talk about some signings. Well, all of the signings that really have made an impact for good or bad. I'll start with Ryan Fraser. It's kind of like filled in that super sub role. And I think in terms of incomings, that's probably the best decision that we've made.
Yeah, Ryan Fraser was a real left field sort of signing. Like, the name got thrown about, and I think a lot of the fan base was a bit like, oh, is that the supermarket we're shopping in nowadays? But yeah, he's off the bench. Like I said, defensively, he's sound, but he also, as a substitute, offers you that goal threat with like, you know, the goal like late against Millwall, late against Hull, and the assist he pops up with. Off the bench, he's a fantastic asset to have.
I quite like him right there at the moment. I know Kev's kind of like pushing for him to stay. Well, we all are, really, aren't we, pushing for him to stay on? But at the moment, I mean, he's doing everything he can to be a first-team regular, but I quite like him as he is, and I don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, I think it works. Like I said, like having Sulemana basically batter a right-back for the first, I don't know, say 60, 65 minutes, and then he comes off, and that right-back's thinking, oh, finally a rest. And then you've got the wee man coming at them and causing all sorts of different chaos, right? It's less silky skill, but still the energy's there. Like, the defences in this league are going to struggle when it's just 90 minutes bombarded down that wing. And then the other wing, you've got Kyle Walker-Peters constantly going down there. It's fantastic to watch the sort of asymmetrical play where our wingers on the left-hand side cause a problem, and then it's our right-back on the right-hand side that causes the problem.
Absolutely, yeah. Just keep giving them the ball, I say. Flynn Downs, another good signing. Just lately, he's been key, hasn't he? He's been a constant in that middle. He's obviously a favourite of Russell Martin, not Russell Brand. And he's becoming a fan favourite as well. But he did have a little bit of a dip. I mean, he started well. I thought he was brilliant signing then. Just like Manning was brought in to play that style specifically that Russell Martin wants. I think he had a little bit of a dip. There was a few games where I thought, why is he playing? I mean, I think I'd prefer Shea Charles at this point. Or, you know, him with Will Smallbone didn't seem to work at some time. I thought there was a little bit not strong enough in the middle. But lately, he's been brilliant. He's been one of the best players, especially this last month.
I think he's epitomised the sort of ebbs and flows of this season. And he came on, I can't remember the exact minute, against QPR. And he bossed that game since coming on. But I read somewhere that he had food poisoning before joining us, which is what caused the delays. And in that 65 minutes against quite a poor QPR side, he probably did just enough to get by. Then you start playing the good teams like the Sunderlands, the Leicesters, the Boroughs and the Ipswiches. And I think he was just getting caught out and he wasn't quite up to the fitness. But now, as you say, and as Russell Martin says, he's just a monster, isn't he, in midfield? Mm. Like, he's tracking back, he's breaking up play. Like, he's only on 3 yellow cards, which is absolutely nuts to think he's only on 3. Like, that man should have had the suspension already, but he's not. He's just on the 3.
Yeah, and we said that last week, actually, Kev, didn't we? We said that he's probably going to get booked against West Brom, and surprise, surprise, he did get booked against West Brom. So, yeah.
So Russell Martin, I got his name right this time.
Russell Martin did get booked, yeah. He's had more yellow cards than Flynn Downs, hasn't he? We'll say. Yeah. But yeah. Another one that's kind of struggled at the start, like Downs, but then has picked it up and now he's a regular, you don't really want to take him out of the side, is Taylor Harwood-Bellis.
Yeah, when we signed him, I thought that's got potential to be arguably one of the best transfers in the division. Like, you saw what he did at Burnley, you saw what he did at the England Under 21 Championships. But I think he was coming into a defence that was not necessarily the most settled, and it just took him a while to bed in. And you think, he started off, and there was obviously Jack Stevens is out. Then I believe Bednarek got injured on international duty. So the game against Leicester, we started with a back two of him and Shea Charles. Shea Charles is great, but he's not a centre-back. And then the Ipswich game again, we played Charles and Taylor Harwood-Bellis at the back. And if you're the main centre-back alongside a central midfielder, you've got to cover so much more. So it's unsurprising that now that Yanni B, as our favourite Nathan Jones coined him, now that Yanni B's back in the side, they look so sturdy together. It's just great to see.
Yeah, and someone that's going to spoil that is Jack Stevens coming back into the side, and Mason Holgate, who I mean I'm going to say this is the biggest turnaround. I know it's only one game, but that game against West Brom, Mason Holgate was brilliant, Kev. We've said it was his best performance. I mean he deserves more time, doesn't he? And is he going to get that now with Yanni B and Harwood Bellis playing well and Jack Stevens knocking on the door? But yeah, Mason Holgate, could he be a little, you know, dark horse there?
I don't think he's going to unsettle either the THB and Jan Bednarek or Jack Stevens. I think he's still fourth choice, but what he does offer you is the ability that he could play right back. And I know obviously James Bree could play right back, but bizarrely, James Bree is now a better left back than the guy we brought in to play left back. So I think Holgate offers you options. And as we saw against Stoke, when we were trying to cling on to that 1-0, he came on as a third centre-back to play alongside Bednarek and Harwood-Bellis.
Yeah.
And so he gives you that option from the bench of, if you're trying to shut up shop, which is rare that we're shutting up shop, but if we try that, he's there. So I think he'll just float around the squad, but at least he's not had any more howlers. Because when your first two performances go the way that he did, it wasn't a good start.
Shocking, shocking. And also, you know, when it comes to December, we've got, what, 6 or 7 games, I believe, in that month. It's going to be a massive, massive month. You know, the centre-backs are going to take, they're going to take a lot. It's going to be a quick turnaround. But I guess I feel more comfortable that if we do need to use him, we know he has got that performance like West Brom in him. So we should be a little bit more comfortable now.
Yeah, definitely. I think the bit for me that I was pleased with was when he came on against Stoke, because he was on for a good 10, 15 minutes and nothing went wrong. He made a few clearances. And just for him to be part of a performance that got over the line rather than be part of the, you know, the Sunderland and then the Middlesbrough, yeah, and just to have your first two go wrong. In fact, he was in a game that got over the line. And then I definitely didn't see the West Brom man of the match performance coming. But, you know, he's got that in the locker. And if you see his number on the team sheet, you're not like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, better. And he needs minutes. He needs the confidence. Surely he'll get that now. And he won't get booed when he comes on. Shay Charles, struggling for minutes, I guess it's fair to say, with Dans and Smallbone ahead of him. But, I mean, in terms of the central, well, defensive holding role there in the middle of the park, he's the first option off the bench in that regard, and he's versatile and he can and has played at centre back. So, but he's still young, isn't he? So I think there's if we can keep hold of Charles for a while, there's a future there for him in the centre.
Yeah, there's definitely a future for Shay Charles. He doesn't necessarily need to plug the gaps now. That's why I think Downs has come in, just to shore us up now and play in that role. And Charles can come in and do bits and bobs where needed. He came in for Stu away at Preston. And, you know, like I say, with Downs being on free booking, Smallbone's on 4. At some point, we're going to be short a midfielder due to suspension. And Shay Charles is, you know, able to step in straight away. Although, having said that, Shay Charles is on free bookings himself. So he'll probably come on, get himself booked, and he'll be suspended anyway for the next one.
Yeah, and we saw Will Smallbone go off in that West Brom game. I know he's been called up to the Republic of Ireland squads, but I don't quite know. I don't think he's going to play. I don't know what the injury is. It looked like a hamstring injury, but it can't be that serious if he's been called up to Republic of Ireland. But we might have to use Shay Charles, you know, fairly, fairly soon, quickly. Kev, I'll let you take this one. Ryan Manning. Safe to say he's been... Well, is it safe to say he's been the biggest disappointment in terms of incomings?
I don't think he was that bad. You know, I think he did a job.
He's just got a mistake in him that we didn't see coming. And he's not an upgrade on Ramon Perro, is he, really? Hasn't been.
Not at all. I mean, he's a good cross of the ball. Perot is likely an even better cross of the ball. But defensively, he is lacking in a way that James Bree has shown that he can't be at times. So,
yeah, who would have thought that, Kev? That, I mean, I remember when James Bree played the first couple of games for us at the back end of last season, you said we're never going to see him in a Saints shirt again. But,
we got
a James Bree playing out of position and keeping our... you know, number one left back signing out of the squad currently.
Yeah, weird as fuck, but you know, I'm down as long as, you know, he's there and waiting to challenge himself. I'll back him all the way.
So Tom, out of all those players that we've mentioned, Fraser, Downs, Howard Bellis, Holgate, Charles, Manning, who's been the brightest spark for you?
I think the brightest spark has to be Fraser, simply from the goals output point of view, is, you know, goals win games. That's what gets you up the table. Ryan Fraser's provided that recently, come off the bench, so it's got to be him. And I do think you're right with the Manning one. It was the most 2+2=4 transfer possible, as in Martin leaves Swansea, Manning leaves Swansea. Oh, what a shock, they're here together. And at the end of August, Ryan Manning had the same amount of errors that led to goal as he did assists. So he's just a little bit, you know, like going forward, like you say, you can pick incisive passes. And that's another substitution that we see, like Bree comes off and Manning comes forward to, you know, maybe try to pick apart a defence. So he's still an option. But yeah, I'd say probably Manning, if you had to say, was probably not the worst signings. That sounds too harsh. But out of the bunch, you'd probably put Manning at the bottom and Fraser at the top.
Yeah. I mean, I'd put Holgate closer to the bottom than Manning, just because he had an even worse start to his career.
And it's only one game that we've seen of him. We need more of him, don't we?
Yeah, that's consistent.
Kev, what about you? Would you say that he's had Fraser the best impact for you this season, or you know, Howard Bellis, or even Downs? Downs is, because I mean, don't forget Ryan Fraser's not playing the minutes that Flynn Downs is.
Yeah, I think Downs is kind of a player that just flies on the radar, just does a job, and everyone respects him for it. Smallbone as well. He's been like a kind of new signing to replace James Ward-Prowse. Well, he wasn't here last season either, was he? Yeah, so it's like he'd never left. And yeah, Taylor Hartwood-Bellis, yeah, it's been the quality signing that we expected him to be. But Fraser came in with, yeah, like Tom said, well, close to zero expectations. It's seen as like only like a failure at Bournemouth and Newcastle, and he seemed to be given a new lease of life, and he's slowly becoming one of my favourite players. Yeah, if not maybe my favourite player. And there is one player that we haven't mentioned that we signed this season, but he hasn't really played us for us at all, apart from making that substitution performance against West Brom, and that's Ross Stewart.
Yeah, I purposely didn't include Ross Stewart in this section because...
It's too early, yeah.
Yeah, and we've barely seen him. He's had 14 minutes in total, hasn't he? So I skipped him on that.
Where do you see Ross Stewart fitting into things for the rest of the season then?
What do we do with him? I mean, is there a place for Shay now? And does Martin find a way to use both Adam Armstrong and Ross Stewart? But then if he does that...
And Alcaraz as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. Who does he take out for Stewart?
I truly don't know who he takes out. I don't want to be Russell Martin when it comes to this problem. He can very much make that decision. I can judge him afterwards, depending on the results. But I think there's a way that they both play together. But I do think, sadly, it's maybe Alcaraz or Stu Armstrong.
I think it will be Stu, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I agree, because I think Alcaraz will come into that sort of more fluid centre-attacking midfield role.
Mm.
Adam Armstrong will stay out wide right, because the relationship that him and Kyle Walker-Peters have is so good, with Armstrong drifting in and Walker-Peters just having that free roam of the right channel, if you pardon the pun. And then you'll have Stewart as the central focal point, and wide left, Sulemana. You can't drop him. He's just electric. Like, he averages 5 successful dribbles a game. But the fullbacks in this league must hate seeing him on the opposition lineup.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got to keep that. And yeah, I think with at the age of Stuart Armstrong, was he 31 now? We've said this, he can't play full 90 minutes. But then again, he did it against West Brom, surprisingly, even though he looked absolutely shagged. But on that, if you are going to put Ross Stewart in, it's going to have to be Stuart Armstrong. Maybe then he will take up that role as an impact player off the bench.
Oh, definitely. He already is, to an extent. Like, you saw him come off the bench away at Preston, and I think he came off the bench against Ipswich as well. And when he comes off the bench, you get this feeling of, right, something's going to happen here. Do you know what I mean? Like, he carries the ball so progressively, yeah, and just looks to make things happen. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily work, but it's always nice to have a player on your team that you can see there's some endeavour, there's something trying to happen here. Whereas often, you know, particularly last season, there wasn't signs of that at all.
Yeah, and I just don't want to play. I hate it when I see Charles, Smallbone, Downs all in the same team. Ultra defensive. And you do like Alcaraz and Stuart Armstrong and Ryan Fraser, Sulemana, to actually, you know, be more progressive in that sense. So if there are going to, if someone's going to go, you would think he's not going to take out a defensive midfielder. It's going to be someone like Stuart Armstrong or Alcaraz. That's the only way that it's gonna happen, because you can't take out Adam Armstrong either, can you?
No, you can't take out the bloke that scored 9 goals in 16 games. And that midfield three of Charles, Downs and Smallbone that you mentioned, if that ends the game, fantastic. We're probably clinging on to a result. But you can't not start Alcaraz or Cameron Dean. Notably, the only 4 games that Alcaraz hasn't started this season were the 4 defeats. Like, neither him nor Cameron Dean started those 4 defeats. Now, do I think that particularly impacted those overall results? Maybe not, because they're against decent sides. But, you know, when you have players that can cause the chaos they can cause, you're going to, you know, win more than you lose.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a dilemma or a trilemma or a quadrilemma coming up with the centre-back situation. We've got Ten Hag with Bellis, now Holgate looking on form. Yanni B just come back in after suspension. Jack fucking Stevens after injury. Who are we going to pick?
Don't mess too much with a winning team. But, well, I think at this moment you can say that Ryan Manning's...
We've had lots of different centre-back combinations that have been on winning sides this season at different stages. So, yeah, that's a real tough situation.
I think we're kind of lucky that the schedule coming up is so hectic, because it means that there can be chop and change and they'll all probably get their minutes just here about. You just need to pick the right moments for the right players, you know. That's going to have to be Martin's challenge, and that's why he's on the big box and we're on a podcast.
Exactly.
Okay, so this week, right, forget the internationals, Bednarik, Howard, Bellis, Holgate and Jack Stevens, they're all fit, they've all had a brilliant week of training. Who does he go with against Huddersfield?
I think against Huddersfield, you've got to go with what works, with Howard Bellis. and Benrach, just because they are quite a physical side. Like, Darren Moore teams don't really play the ball on the deck that often. It's going to be lumped in. And those two are probably the two best headers defensively of the ball. So I'd probably go with those two for that one. But then you've got Bristol City afterwards.
Yeah.
That's maybe when you look to go for someone a little bit quicker.
Rotation-wise there, yeah. Yeah, and Huddersfield have got a great big forward. I mean, what's it? I can't remember his name. Berzog, is it?
Bert Bacharach.
He looks like a beast. He's going to be physical, so you need to be able to deal with him. Yeah, so the rest of the season then, I mean, hopefully we've had our lowest point. And, you know, Leicester are having their struggles now because they've lost two. But, you expect the Leicester side to ride that out. Ipswich, I don't really think they have a big enough squad. And I expect they're going to fall away at some point. You know, once the festive fixtures kick in gear as well, they're going to have some struggles too. Maybe not if it isn't in December, it's going to be January, February time. They're gonna have a slip up. We've got a big squad. So is it fair to say that we're not going to have another low point again? We're just going to keep on this upward trajectory. I mean, Leeds probably, they're going to improve as well, I imagine. I don't think they're going to slip off much. They're going to be there or abouts.
I think it depends on what you mean by low point. I do think we're going to lose again before the end of the season, undoubtedly. But we're not going to lose four on the trot, is the way I view it. Like, we might lose a game in December, maybe a game in January, whenever. But I think in terms of the rest of the season, we've just got to keep doing what we're doing. So at the moment, we're, you know, closing that gap game by game. Leicester are dropping points. Ipswich are drawing it away to Rotherham. You know, I thought it was only fashionable to draw at home to Rotherham, but they drew away to Rotherham. So, you know, just if we keep doing our thing, we'll end up definitely top six, I'm sure. And we'll just see how the top two look.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that brings us on to the team that we're playing next. Huddersfield, you said that they're a very physical side, don't you? Darren Moore, we're going to see a lot of balls up in the air. A lot of balls up, yeah. They're sinking, pretty much a sinking ship at the moment. Is this a good time to play them, do you think?
I don't know if there's ever a good time to play anyone in a championship. It was a championship, such a nuts league. Like, you would have thought we would have been in a good vein form up to Sunderland and we got pumped and there's other results in the league.
And Middlesbrough, great time to play Middlesbrough.
And Middlesbrough, there's so often that just random scorelines come out of nowhere. Like, Norwich were going well and they got pumped 6-2 at Plymouth. Preston run beaten like we were and they got spanked 4-0 by West Brom. So in a championship, you can't really have a good time to play anyone. But I think
change of manager.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I mean, why do I want to say Roy Hodgson? Neil Warnock's just walked away.
Same bloke.
Yeah, very much different disguise, different rubber mask. But yeah, Neil Warnock's just walked away. Seems to be quite low. I mean, I think that if there is a good time to play Huddersfield now is a good time. I'm quite confident going into this match. Are you equally as confident? Or?
When I say that, like, there's never a good time to play, like, or never a bad time, like, I'm still confident going into it. It's the sort of game you need to be confident if we're gonna achieve what we want, which is promotion. So I'd say it's a good time to play them with Ross Stewart coming back, hopefully fully fit. Will he get more minutes? You know, that will cause problems that they won't have had, like, the paperwork to look at or the videos to analyse Ross Stewart in a Saints team. So that could cause different problems. As we know, Alcaraz and Camaldean are just chaotic anyway. So we should have enough to cause their problems.
Yes. very good point. He's an unknown quantity, Ross Stewart.
You've got to like our chances to finish the month of November undefeated as well. I mean, I said that at the start of the month. I said I quite fancy this month to go undefeated again. Huddersfield and Bristol City, the only ones that are going to stop us. Yeah, I like our chances here.
The Bristol City one's the one that I'm a little bit torn on because they have a very new manager. And the guy, Liam Manning, that's the guy, the guy from Oxford yep. City. And
Oxford United.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely not from Oxford City. If they're shopping in that market, we should walk it. but so they are equally an unknown because from what I hear about the Oxford United side, they played sort of similar football to what we are trying to impose. And if they come and play rejuvenated, they could get something. But we've got to be confident going into it with the form we're in.
Especially at home as well.
Oh, yeah. St Mary's needs to be a fortress in order for us to go up. I think the season we went up in 2011-2012, we lost 3 home games in total. And we're currently on 2 home defeats this season, so we can't really afford to lose any more at home.
Absolutely. And on that note, do you think we're going to get promoted?
I'm hoping for a playoff final win because I've cleared it with everyone on Jersey, and I'll be the first man on that flight to Gatwick and the first man on that train up to London if we get into that playoff final.
Wow. I don't want to go for the playoffs. I don't think I can handle it. Predictions then. Tom, as you're the guest, I'm going to let you go first. What's the score going to be against Huddersfield?
I think I'm just going to play the numbers on this one. I've tried in the Discord Predictions League to sort of go against the grain with the result, and I've kind of slipped down a bit. So I'm just going to play the safe bet and go for a 2-1 Southampton win.
Okay. Kev, I'm up first over you. I think we are going to get a clean sheet there. I think we're going to be too much for him, and I think we take it 2-0.
Yeah, and it's probably going to end up with Tom being right, because that scoreline 2-1 is just the safest bet you can really make. But I think we're going to get our first convincing result of the season 3-0.
Okay. You not think that Leeds and Birmingham were convincing?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we didn't keep a clean sheet there, did we?
No. Oh, okay. I'd like a 3-0. That'd be nice and comfortable. That's what we need. I don't want to, be a goal up going, with 10 minutes left.
Yeah, or even conceding early.
Yeah, definitely not.
That'd be bad.
Definitely not that. Right, I think that is about everything, unless there's anything more from you, Kevin.
That's it, mate.
Tom, is there anything else you want to add?
I'm all good. Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting.
And likewise.
Yeah, it's good to actually... get a voice to the channel, unintended.
Yeah. And if anyone listening, join our Discord, and who knows, you might end up on the podcast at some point as well.
There you go. Yeah, that's an out. But yeah, anyway, Tom, thanks very much, mate. And I'll speak to you again soon.
All right, take care, gentlemen. Thank you.
See you, mate.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
So now, of course, we have the international break before we get back to the business of the championship. We travel to the John Smith Stadium on Saturday, the 25th of November, for a 3 p.m. kickoff with Huddersfield. To help us get ready, we have Tim Bazance. Tim, welcome back. How are you today?
Doing really well. It's going to be in the 60s. Like, it's going to hit 60 here today in Chicago in mid-November. It's absolutely crazy. It's definitely global warming.
Well, I mean, over here it's been dark, grey and miserable, but the sun has just made an appearance, actually. But yeah, it's been kind of matching my mood, but I don't really feel that sun-kissed at the moment. We've got a little break, but then we're right back into those two fixtures. But we're going to focus on Huddersfield. So let's start. Little bit of a struggle for them this season. I mean, they're sitting down in 21st, just 4 points off the relegation zone. They're winless in their last 4. In fact, they've only managed 3 wins in total on the season, 2 of those coming at John Smith Stadium. Struggle to score goals as well, by the looks of it. The second worst record in the league, just ahead of bottom of the table Sheffield Wednesday in that metric. Now, is there any reason, Tim, that we shouldn't be expecting to keep this streak going and possibly make it 4 wins in a row?
Well, the expectation here is that we absolutely should be dominant in this game. If we are not dominant at all, then even if there is a trudge out win, it's a failure because this is the type of team that we need to play and treat it as practice. But we need to go out and just completely dominate.
My only fear is that we're just going to do what we did against Rotherham and maybe get a little bit complacent and You know, we should be winning these games. Therefore, we won't, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you can always get the bogey game coming out where it's 2 weeks, so they have time to be able to prepare against us. We might get a knock or two during the international break with injuries, and so we're out of position or people aren't playing as well. And then, obviously, they could just – there's – Waka could be on their side, too. They could get a handball, and things can get thrown all over the place. You never know. So my question is Huddersfield Town, they're the Terriers, and that's where they're most famous for, but they're often called the Town. How many teams out there in England are really known as the Town? Like, if you would call them, they're the Town.
I don't know. Not many. I think it's just a bit bland and boring, isn't it? There's a lot of football clubs called Town, but I don't think they refer to themselves as the Town. Maybe they are the Town.
Yeah, they definitely go, the Terriers are them. Like, that's what they would be, but also for teams known as the Town, like, they were, you know, looking through and doing my research, nicknames, the Town was easily the second one and really the only predominant one outside of Terriers that came up. So super interesting to me. But nonetheless, Huddersfield Town, it's a suburban Leeds area. So for us, for our US based listeners, that is the North Midlands.
Yorkshire.
So the northern part of the Midlands there. Huddersfield Town, founded 115 years ago. It had its most successful years from between World War I and World War II. So they were the FA Cup champions in 1922. So no one else can sing that. That's kind of funny. And then three-time English champions in a three-peat. Okay, we're talking domination here. 1924, 1925, and 1926.
No, I don't remember that, unfortunately.
That is some elite level gamemanship there. Only 100 years ago. So, but let's talk about John Smith Stadium. Have you seen pictures of it? I don't know if you've ever been there before.
Of course I have. Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium. It's unique. It's like none of the others. It's a very nice stadium.
Gorgeous. Mm. It is gorgeous. It was built in 1994, and it's just, for those who have never seen it before, take a look. Please look it up. There's a surrounding forest that it's built into, but it has this modern symmetry that allows for curved roofs on all four sides, and each side is unique. It's its own stand, and the four covered stands are, I mean, it's sublime in terms of the way you can describe it. And in FIFA, it's my favorite stadium, and it's easily my favorite stadium in the championship, and it's probably potentially all of the UK is my favorite stadium. So I want to let them know that's a pretty cool looking stadium to consider and take a look at. So they had a 2-year spell in the Premier League, 2017 and 2018, but most of the time, but since the mid 70s, they've really been in between tiers 2 through 4. Currently managed by Darren Moore. They started off the year with Neil Warnock, who saved them from relegation last season at the depths, did a really good job of, you know, being that last-ditch savior. But Darren Moore came in really at the early part of the season and hasn't really fared too well. Coming into it, though, the season, they were being pegged as relegated, or one of the teams that could be, and with them currently sitting in 21st, that's definitely an option for them. It's not like they're, you know, playing well above or punching above their weight. So looking at their team, their roster, new players, there's only one player who's new this season who's had any level of semblance of major minutes, and it's Delano Bergzong. He's on loan from Mainz. And
no, isn't he the big barrel-chested center forward?
That is correct. Yep. Yeah. And he has scored 2 goals on the season so far. But looking at their key players, there's 3 other key players I wanted to highlight. Mikkel Helic, he's their center back. He's had 4 goals on the season. So it's saying something that when your leading goal scorer is your sweeper, not just your center back, like your center of the center backs in a five back formation. He's been a bright spot in their ultimately poor squad. Jack Rodoni, if you listen to the Total Saints podcast, Huddersfield Town guys say that he is going to be coming back from injury after the international break. So take a look out for him. 3 goals and assists. And with that foot injury he's been out with, he's going to be their other other player to really look out for. And then Sorba Thomas has had 4 assists in in connection with his one goal in the season. Last five, going in reverse order, lost to Hull City 1-0, drew Watford 0-0, lost to Leeds 4-1, lost to Cardiff 4-0, and they beat a Gareth Ainsworth QPR side 2-1. Tactics, what are you looking at? Darren Moore is the most defensive setup manager in the championship, exclusively in a 5-4-1. And he's had a little slight improvement on Warnock from with a focus on defense, but at the ability for them to lose their attack. And with Helic as their sweeper, he's pushing forward on set plays. And the heat map will show that if their attack is going to come and build out, it's going to go through their left side. So that's Helic and Tom Lees, with Nakayama, who's their left wing back, and eventually a cross over to Thomas, who's in that right midfield position in that four. They are going to be counterattack city. That's all they're going to be able to do against us. So let's hope we don't get caught out too high. Let's hope we don't get too complacent, as we were talking about earlier, because we are going to play really aggressively high. If Benarek slots back in, and hopefully no injuries when he plays with Poland, and Poland's going to have a very crucial match at home against Czechia. They need to win and then hope that Czechia loses or draws Moldova at home. And then Scotland already qualified too. So let's hope that Stuart Armstrong, Shea Adams, they're going to play the subs. They're going to play some players and so nobody gets injured. But overall, to me, we should be expecting domination. Expect Huddersfield to sit in that low block and use Lees and Helic to dominate over our small team, our small attack. Although we'll see if Ross Stewart comes in, and that'll be a fun that'll be a fun tactical switch if there is. And then it's going to be very similar game to West Brom, except they are going to have a lot less quality. And they're even more defensive. So they're going to even have less chances going forward to take a look at. And it's for us that while we can have that slow, methodical build-up possession-based play, recognize that they aren't going to be so compact that we have to figure out how to break them. And that breaking is going to come through not necessarily a counterattack, but spreading the team wider and building out more from actually even further down the pitch in the midfield rather than put us up in what would be a half court offense or a third, the half court. Using basketball analogies here, using that half court now where they're really going to they're going to play instead of a 2-3 zone, they're going to play a 5-4-1 zone and really just play around.
I'm so glad that Kev's not here right now for this.
So that's what's to be expected. It's basically going to be a slog and it's going to be really, really tough to break them down. But if we do, like Leeds and Cardiff did, it comes not so much from being able to do that slow, methodical play. It comes from a Charlie Alcaraz dispossession from one of their midfielders, a breakthrough, a push up to the wing, whether it be Sulemana breaking off their right backs or the right center backs. Or Kyle Walker-Peters cross, eventual small cross in, and that small bone, just kind of a outside foot shot to be able to break through the lines.
Available, that is.
That is true. That is Huddersfield Town.
Excellent. Okay, so me and Kev have given our predictions. So it's just down to you then, Tim. What's the score going to be?
3-0. I think we're going to win.
Wow. A clean sheet?
Yep. They have nobody in attack. So if by playing the odds, we should be destroying them, just like how Leeds and Cardiff did.
Okay, that's it, Tim. Thank you once again. You need to enjoy the rest of this little breather from the championship now, and let's hope we can continue to climb ever closer to that top three and close out the month of November with 6 more points. That'll be something, won't it?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, so yes, until next time, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.